scripture reading. And of an occasion of this being that season of the year that we celebrate the Lord's Supper or Passover, as Jesus called it to his disciples, we want to go to the beginning of the Old Testament, and we want to learn some things about that occasion. Does it have relativity to the New Testament? Yes, it does. Very much so. Maybe to mainstream Christianity's surprise, but if so, they just haven't studied the festivals of the Lord and the festivals that occur in their New Testament and their Bibles. They may be referred to as feasts, but they're also festivals, times of great joy at the different occasions in the year, different seasons of the year in which different types of celebrations are carried on. So we want to go to a scripture reading in Exodus 12, and I want to start at the 14th verse. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whosoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words that we read. Heavenly Father, we know that they are instructions. We know that your New Testament confirms that it is a permanent statute for all of the ones that are known as the children of God. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you will. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. And I would like to go to the book of Romans for my text. So let's turn to Romans 8 and 12. And we want to read there. And remember, we're speaking of things that pertain to this season of the year. And this season of the year is called Passover. It's also referred to as the Lord's Supper. Some people, mainstream Christianity, wants to call it Easter. But we all know that Easter is derived from pagan practices. And we want to study and see what the New Testament has to say about this season of the year, because it has much to say. Jesus Christ himself kept all of the days of festivity from his youngest day to he was killed. He kept Passover, He was taken by his mom and dad to the temple area to observe everything that everybody else was observing and had observed for hundreds and hundreds of years. He was taught this by his mother and dad, and he did them himself. My message to you today is entitled, How to Unleaven Passover. Is followed by the days of unleavened bread. These are 7 days in which, following Passover day, 7 days you are to put out leaven from your homes. Why? Because God said so. He gave Israel, after they were to be delivered from Egypt, He gave them commands to eat unleavened bread as He was delivering them from the bonds of slavery. And so God Himself instructed Moses and the children of Israel to put out leaven from their homes. And so we see that their meal that they ate, right as they were to hurriedly get out of the land of Egypt, their meal that they ate because of the haste was with unleavened bread. Leaven, as we find it in the Bible, and no doubt from the instance in which God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and the manner and the way and the Passover angel passing over the children of Israel's home, in which the blood was applied in order that their firstborn was not killed. Leavening seems to have had and followed through God's word a little bit more of a negative attachment to it. But it doesn't, it isn't that way 100% when you read and study on the word leaven. And leavened bread. Romans 8 and 12. Now remember, a lot of these scriptures we're going to be reading is from your New Testament. How is it related to Passover? How is it related to the Lord's Supper? How is it related to the days of festivity or feast? Unleavened bread. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Do you see that? Is this children of God? And you could just as easily say the children of Israel. You could just as easily say Abraham's seed, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of the children of God that sees God as their Father, sees Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Lord and Savior. These are, according to the New Testament, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You are just as much sons of God and children of God as the children of Abraham and their seed after them. Leaven is a symbol of sin. That's why it was told the children of Israel, as this was to be a statute that was to be done permanently each year at an appropriate season and time, leaven was to be put out of their homes. Why? Because God wanted it to be symbolic of putting sin out of our lives. Can we do that fully and completely, 100%, and be known by our neighbor and perhaps our brothers and sisters in the church as being perfect? No, we don't think so. Now, in God's eyes, it's a different matter. Some people live their lives and God recognized them as perfect and as righteous, accounted them as righteous. But we know that leaven is to be looked upon as sin, and the days of unleavened bread being the 7 days following Passover day. Those are the 7 days that we need to put out leaven, put out leaven from our dwelling places, and reminding ourselves each time we do, and each day that we may find a little leaven or something like that in our home, and we say, you know, we've got to get this out because God said so. Why? It's symbolic of getting sin out of our lives, and it's a daily thing. You could even break it down and say that it might be an hourly thing to some people. But it's the bottom line is removing sin from your life. It should be a daily thing. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Let's go to there. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Of course, in the New Testament, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? When you add leaven to something that you cook or bake, does it stay the same? Changes start taking place, doesn't it? When you add leaven to dough, it leavens the whole lump. Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. It's speaking of us being unleavened. So that's saying it's speaking of us as not having sin or getting sin out of our life in that growing process in which the new birth takes place. For us, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become as new in Jesus spiritually. And each day that that passes after that we accept Jesus, then we grow in Him. And we learn new truths to abide in. Let us therefore, now remember, this is the New Testament. And it's talking about some Old Testament things, and it does that quite often. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. You know, these are two things of how to unleaven, put sin out of our life, replace it with things of God, of a godly nature, of a righteous nature. Sincerity and truth, two great characteristics. We need them both. If something else is in their place in our heart and life, then the other things need to be put out. These things need to be put in. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. A lot of people don't know that's in God's Word. But it says that. Will the people that you associate with affect you in any way? Yes, they will. The bad people, negative people, will affect you that way. It will very likely rub off on you, make you worse than you were or are. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world or with the covetous and swindlers or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? It's talking about a separation between those that are inside the church and those that are outside. And making a very distinct difference between, yes, we have to go out into the world. And we have to speak to people who are not righteous people. In hopes that God will tug at their hearts and lives. And they observe something either about us or by something that we say or do. And hopefully want what they see in us. As we abide in Jesus Christ. You are unleavened when you start putting sin out of your life. You become growing toward being unleavened. You get out malice and wickedness. But you put in, you bring within you sincerity and truth. Notice that it says, let us celebrate the feast. Now, another word for feast is festivity. A joyous occasion, in other words. An occasion in which you celebrate something. An occasion in which most likely you eat or drink something. A feast. Let's go to leaven being used not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense, in a good way. Let's go to Matthew 13 and 33. And let's see what the Word of God says to us here. Matthew 13, 33. He spoke another parable to them. This means Jesus. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven being like leaven in which a woman puts in. And what happens? I would say the kingdom of heaven grows. This is a very much a fruitful kind of a thing in which the word leaven is used. God will bring into complete fullness the kingdom of heaven with all of his children and in all its beauty and joy. Joy forever. Leaven, leavens the lump. Leaven expands the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to Matthew 16 and verse 11. And we'll have one of the bad connections with the word leaven. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And listen at verse 12. It explains it. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching or doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. All things are lawful for me. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, or the church at Corinth. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. Pick out things as we read these that we should be getting out of our lives and perhaps putting others in. Getting out the wrong things, the leaven. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee morality. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Now listen to this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be growing less like our natural selves and more like God each day of our life. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. How by? Putting out the things that you should put out. Putting in the things that you should put in. Feed your body and yourself the right things. Be around the right people. Stay in the right circumstances. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty says, accept my ways and do them. Accept my plan of salvation, and you shall be my sons and daughters. I think that that is plenty good for us. Let's go to Romans 13 and 12. Romans 13 and 12. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Lay aside, put out the deeds of darkness, the bad things, put out. Put on, or inside, put on the armor of light. That armor that protects us from the darkness, protects us from the things that Satan would bring to us and put upon us. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Are you listening? That says a lot about what to put out and how to live and how to change, what to put in. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what comes with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what is acceptable to Him. You know how He lived His life and required His followers to live. Let's go to Galatians 3 and 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, have you accepted Christ? Did you believe in Him? Do you accept God's plan of salvation? It makes all the difference. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. How much more clear could it be? You are Abraham's offspring as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And everything that the Hebrew people were to be heirs of, their promises from God, all are yours. All you can claim. All of them God has for you, just like He did them. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 22. And then do the King James Version on this. Ephesians 4, 22, King James Version. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let us know what to put off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is right living. The way you think it ought to be? Nope. The way this word says it ought to be. The way God says to live your life and what to put on and what to put out. Righteousness in God and true holiness. Let's go to 6 and 11, Ephesians 6 and 11 on down. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Should we expect attacks from Satan on us and our family as we try to live like God would have us to live and separate our lives from the world? Yes, we just wells to. This tells us where some of that comes from. Satan and the powers that he brings, because they are rulers of the darkness and the instigators of spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 8 in the regular NASB. Colossians 3 and 8. 3 and 8. But now you also put them all aside. Now listen to these that we're supposed to put aside. It doesn't say this just for no reason. Put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, which is distinguished from anger by a degree, and we just well to say that malice is hatred. It's gone beyond anger. It's hatredness. It ain't good. We need to put it aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. I think it's sort of like gossip. Saying things you really don't know. Not don't know firsthand. Maybe a little bit of judgment in there. Slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed. Notice that. The new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You're becoming more like the one who created you. Let's drop down to verse 12. Right there, just a little bit further down, verse 12, Colossians 3. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whosoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. I think we have done some of that today. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, praise to God the Father. Let's go in conclusion to Mark 8 and 34. Mark 8 and 34. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's our instructions from Jesus Christ. Take up your cross. A cross is something for you to bear. I would say your expectations should be that it might be a little trying. Might be a little hard. Might be some sacrifices there. Jesus, after all, bore his cross and sacrificed ultimately for us. He's telling us we might have to do a little something ourselves. And in fact, he's saying we will. Expect it. Take up your cross and follow me. First Corinthians 15 and 31. The Apostle Paul, toward the end of his life, let us know just exactly how human he was. And as you read some of his writings, not only are amazed by the complexity of his writings and how they can be so hard to understand, but you really get to know the kind of person he was. 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, and Apostle Paul says, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. You know what that's speaking of? Taking up your cross and following Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. He said also, watch and pray. We need to die daily, grow closer to God, put out leaven from ourselves by putting out sin and sinful ways. My message, how to unleaven. Is it pertinent for us today? You should know that it is. New Testament advises, let us keep the feast. It was talking about Passover. It was talking about unleavened bread. If you would, stand with me in prayer.